Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev, a black British mum of West Indian descent with two young adults now 20 and nearly 18. Yes, we've celebrated birthdays during this lockdown. We're based in London, UK, as you well and truly know. I'm not an expert of any kind. I'm just sharing my thoughts, opinions and experiences around parenting in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. The Parent Talk hashtag means we switch things up a little. And today I'm reflecting on whether I've been a bad or good mum. Can we really be so firm in our judgment on whether, you know, someone's good or bad? Listen while I reflect just a little. I woke up today, and you can hear my voice sounds a little bit more husky than normal, but I woke up after a long week. It's been a couple of weeks, actually, of preparing for the South London Mental Health Summit with the NHS, local authorities and community groups. And just doing a lot of stuff, really. I've been drained and I've been tired. Truth is, I still am. And I'm just going to take some time, well-deserved time, out and spend it with my family very soon. But anyway, I awoke from a dream that led into some deep thoughts about that, how the struggle is real to be a good mother who bears good fruit. No, actually, I was recording a discussion with someone about the current climate regarding getting the injection that promises so much, yet in reality it doesn't, because the same measures are in place regardless. Anyway, I was reflecting on the fear that is created from making a decision to either do something or not. I thought about whether I wanted to do a podcast on should we take the injection or not again, since I've done one last year anyway, and I just thought, nah, I ain't going to go there. And then my thoughts kind of ran down a rabbit hole of thoughts about the repercussions and fears of what might happen if I go into this spiel, what would happen to my podcast, what might happen to my reputation. The fact that I don't really want to join a major discussion that focuses on whether people should have or should not have. And I didn't want to be the font of knowledge around it, because I'm not. I am a common woman trying to make sense of stuff to hopefully make the right decisions. And this then reminded me of when I had my first child around 20 years ago. And the new lick or debate then was around the MMR jabs. Now that stands for mumps, measles and rubella combined injection. And this was what was kind of the new flavour around 20 years ago. Well, according to my memory. Now, when you're not a parent, right, you can be as opinionated as you like. You can theorize about what you will and will not do. But once you find yourself in the situation, you don't know shite. You can empathize, create a whole new ultra vision or version of whatever it is you want to believe. But you will meet something that will challenge you. So over 20 years ago, I didn't really think that having a child was going to create a mind F of confusions or decisions that would constantly have me thinking whether I was a good mum or a bad mum. All I know now is what? That guilt is real. So I had to either make it my friend or become mentally ill from it. I don't mean that in a flippant way, because I know that mental well-being is a struggle, and that's a real struggle. But fear creates anxiety, and depression, and these are cycles that can paralyze you and kill you if you're not strong. You're either strong out of like necessity or strong because we're supported by family and friends. And sometimes family and friends can also be good or bad. Anyway, my first cousins on my father's side of the family had children who, after they had taken the MMR jabs, developed autism. Now, look, I'm not going to go into the debates about whether or not the jabs create blah, 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 because the professionals have all done that, right? I'm just telling you my reality. So as an outsider, I witnessed the impact this had, and I felt helpless and could only visit, support where needed, and even that felt useless because I felt totally useless to impact their lives for the better. All I remember that I could do was be present when I was with them and be honest about my ignorance and open to treat them as my loved ones. I recall just being there and laughing, crying, investigating things with them. Oh boy. But I did not have to live with them day in, day out, and handle all that was coming at them. It never felt enough. And sometimes I felt guilty that I could not do anything useful. But sometimes the useful was having conversation that didn't always center around what needed to be done. Sometimes it was the sharing of our lives and what was happening in our lives. And sometimes what I felt was my non-eventful life. So when I became a mum, and it was time for me to routinely vaccinate my firstborn, I stopped and recalled all that had affected my immediate family, the lives of my cousins that have been impacted by too strong a dose of jabs that they were not able to cope with, and the repercussions for my older cousins and the impact this had and still has on their lives. One cousin was isolated in her coping, whilst another seemed to be blamed for the fact that her child now had autism, and this was from the father of the child. So not ignoring the huge amount of guilt and sense of loss for the potential that those children had, because they had been flourishing and now seemed more diminished and struggling to cope and communicate with the world. So isolation became a feature. I guess the sense of isolation is common. I wanted to learn from their experience, and I felt that my family, or at least I, could not cope with any outcome like that if my child had the injection. And I think, if nothing else, I wanted to think I'd learnt a lesson. So when the medical professions told me it was time for my daughter to have the MMR jab, I didn't say anything at first. I just didn't do it. There is a saying, those who know better, do better. And I felt this jab wouldn't work for me and mine. Don't get me wrong, I felt the pressure to conform, because that is real. But I also didn't want to interrupt the developmental process of my child by asking her to struggle with medication that she might not be able to cope with. Now, I didn't have a conversation with her. I'm just thinking for her. She's a toddler. My husband at the time didn't agree with me. He was like, just give the pitney the injection, everything will be fine. But I was like, probably I just stressed out a little bit more. But I remembered when I was pregnant and they did the 12-week scan and told me that my child was Down syndrome. They delivered the news like it was some factual news. It was kind of detached, really, as if I wouldn't be disturbed by the news. Maybe they assumed that as a mature woman, I could just accept that news without preparing me with words of support or comfort. That was then, nearly 20 years ago. I wonder if they still do that now. And especially with cultures that they have assumptions about how we might take the news. Regardless, new mums are fragile. Anyway, how did they come to this conclusion? Well, because they had measured the fluid in the baby's neck and it indicated that my child was a Downs baby, somehow it felt like I should have just accepted this news because I was a mature mother. You know, this whole thing about, you know, have your babies young and then what's too young, right? And then have your baby old. Well, what is too old? Yeah, I know that the eggs get older. Could they just recycle? But what? Regardless, you gotta come better than when you tell people the news that their child may be Down syndrome, which is going to affect their lives for the rest of their lives. But regardless. When something's new, I suppose it's new. I've never walked that path before. And my mum's pregnancies were immaculate conceptions, if you ask her, because they never talked about sex. Anyway, the hospital wanted to confirm what the scan had shown. And so they wanted me to have some big ass injection in my stomach to extract fluid to actually check. However, the side effects of this might lead me to miscarry. What a decision. What a decision to make for someone who was nearly 40 and who thought they weren't going to be able to have children. Then this miracle happens and I find myself actually pregnant. You know what I mean. When I say miracle, it really means unprotected sex because I never thought I could get pregnant. So my baby was a miracle. And now you present me with this choice. I mean, once I found out that I was pregnant, I was as sick as a dog. Yeah, it would have been nice to stop being sick, but at what cost? Now I was being faced with making a decision that would be a risk, no matter what I chose. All of this to confirm if the child was disabled. Would that have made a real difference? Because I'd waited so long to get pregnant and have a kid, have a child was having a child. You just accept what you were given and what comes in it. So as I say, right, I had to make a choice. I had to make a decision that would be a risk no matter what I chose. So I remember the phone call with my partner who said not to take the procedure. And it confirmed the decision that I had come to, but it was nice to know that he was going to stand by me regardless. Even if he wasn't in the country physically at the time with me, we had made a decision and it was nice to know that I was not alone in my thoughts and my decision. So when I went back to the hospital, I told the hospital my answer. They, of course, reiterated the risks of the decision that I had made. And I felt from what they said that I was being selfish because if I could prevent it all, Why didn't I? I thank God that I also had my dear friend with me. She absorbed the information, asked questions when I was struck dumb and couldn't respond straight away. She asked about alternatives, next steps, and helped me overcome the mind fog. I was then taken under the consultant's wing and monitored regularly. This actually meant I felt like a guinea pig because I had so many hospital appointments for scans to monitor the baby. By the time my baby came out, I had already met her via all the scans that they had done to track her progress and review their initial findings. And at some point, near to the mid or to the end of my pregnancy, I think I got the all clear that this was a so-called normal baby. By then, I was as big as a blasted whale and was just coping with carrying the baby, and I actually can't recall my response to it. I must have been glad of the decision that I had made, but it wasn't over yet. I nearly died in childbirth. The placenta didn't detach, and I was rushed into surgery immediately after giving birth. To be truthful, I was out of it. And my mum, partner, and birthing partner, who were all present, would have to tell you their own version of what they witnessed. I knew that I was not able to see my baby for at least a week. When she was born, she was immediately rushed. She was having some difficulty breathing, so she was immediately rushed to the ICU, I believe that's what it's called, and she was put in an incubation unit. And I was rushed to surgery and ended up on the 9th floor to recover, while my partner dealt with the baby. So he'd go down to see her and come up to see me. How he managed, how my mum coped during this time, I can only guess. So let's fast forward to the time for her to have her childhood jabs, and now the MMR jab, which has conflicting information about it, which has divided parents about what they should or shouldn't do for the better, given their own circumstances. The fact that I now believe that my family's medical history and what I'd witnessed from my first cousin's own experiences impacted my decision to agree to this MMR jab. Now, I was expected to make another decision, a big one in my mind. And when I asked the doctors and professionals, they had no issues telling me that it was the done thing, that every vaccination carried its own risks. They heard what I said, but it doesn't have the same impact or consequence for them. I am the one who was around immediate family, living with what we believe to be a product of medication too strong for our children to deal with. So I decided not to give my child the MMR jab. Now, to put a little context to it, I had another baby by this time. Was she a toddler or was I pregnant? I can't remember, man. But not only was the pregnancy having its own issues for me because the fibroids that were inactive now became active during my pregnancy and now sprang to life again. And, you know, I had other issues to being pregnant. After my first pregnancy, a lump had been found in my throat, which required further investigation. I had lots of tests and was scheduled for surgery to remove the lump and for me to get results. But this had to be suspended because I found out that I was pregnant and the surgery required, well, as I say, had to be postponed until after the baby had been born. So, to be clear, I had a toddler requiring childhood jabs. I required investigative surgery for a suspicious lump on my throat that might be cancerous, that had to be postponed until after giving birth to my second child. I'm again as sick as a dog, and I'm worried that I actually do have cancer whilst pregnant. And if I don't die in labour, there is a strong fear that I will after. So decisions are mega important. So I have the bad mum, good mum written all over me, my mind, my body, and my spirit. So what did I do? What I did was more research. I asked questions, I pondered, I delayed, and finally decided that I would do the single jabs to see how my child would react to it. This was not a popular decision. My doctors requested that I put in writing that I had declined the MMR. God only knew what the repercussions of that was going to be. I had to find a reliable clinic to get the jabs, pay for them, monitor them, and plan for each jab to take place 12 months apart. This was so I could monitor the effects of each jab and watch out for any issues that could be dealt with. I had to make sure that my family knew my wishes as well, because if the first pregnancy was anything to go by, the first labour was anything to go by, I couldn't guarantee the second. So everyone who was immediately involved with me and my children needed to know these were my wishes, and who the clinic was, and you know, you get the deal. And needless to say, I did the single jabs with both children, and I was glad that I did it my way. My eldest, as we found out, has a bunch of allergies, not being the most deadly for her. And so hospitals have been my friend, but I've also had to put in the research and follow-up actions to support my children's health. When the government decided that MMR booster jabs needed to take place, I declined them. Yes, I asked the questions again and did my research again. And yes, they were older and the impact of the three jabs might not have had a detrimental impact, especially what my partner was saying. I don't know why you're causing a big mountain out of a molehill. Just get a pit of them to jabs. Everything is going to be fine. Them never, you know. And I was just like, please. But I didn't want to live with the consequences if they didn't. Yeah? Because you can have a partner in the house and you can talk and talk and make decisions. But when the real S hits the fan, mum, if you're the primary person, you're dealing with it day in, day out. He can go to work and come in. And if you're blessed to have somebody who's totally involved, just like you are, then you're blessed. Yeah? You're blessed. But if not, you've got to deal with this on your own. So have I been a bad or good mum or just plain stressed out? I think stressed out is part of the journey. It's how you cope with the stress that matters. There have been other medical stands that I've had to take, for better or worse. All I can see right now are two healthy young women who will make their own choices now as they enter adulthood. They have seen me question, research, and make difficult decisions. We have discussed things, and I've given my reasons. I'm thankful for the doctors and nurses we have met along the way, but it's a job for you, whilst my children are life for me. I can never walk away or go home after my shift is over. A special need child is special all our lives. The difficulty for Black special needs children are only difficult because of the prejudice or stereotypes, and we have enough of them already, so why would I want to add more? The burden to make the right choices, especially when I come from parents who trusted everything that doctors said, while I have grown up witnessing how some parts of the health service has let Black people down due to neglect, impact of their stereotypes that have affected treatment and medication given when alternatives could have been sought, or even if professionals had actually listened to what was being said, there could have been a different outcome for all. Look, you all know I'm a mature mum already, yeah? So, you know, I've witnessed things, yeah? Like the Tuscany study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male, okay? In Black men, I don't even like that word, right? Was an ethically abusive study conducted between 1932 and 1972. Do you hear me? This was research conducted between 1932 and 1972. That's a whole leap of years. And this was conducted by the United States Public Health Service and Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The purpose of this study was to observe the natural history of untreated syphilis. How you can use people as human guinea pig for 40 years to track the untreated, what happens when you don't treat syphilis? You're using all these people, human lives, as guinea pig? This and other experiments around Black fertility has led me to question things more and to seek alternatives that have worked for me. The solution has not always been drugs and the scalpel. Now look, of course, I use the NHS and seek doctor's support, but I also listen to what my gut tells me. And if I need to question what is offered, that is my prerogative. When I was struggling with stomach issues, they wanted to operate and remove items. I said no. And I changed my diet, which helped. When I was struggling with anxiety and depression, their solution was drugs. I said, that doesn't work for me. So I was referred to one-to-one talk therapy. Now that had its challenges, but it worked for me. When I was struggling with the onset of menopause, their solution was drugs. It was not mine. So I sought out alternative that I am living with daily. When they said I was borderline diabetic, I did the workshops to educate myself and changed my diet again. But it was not enough. So I've had to change my diet again. And I'm now more leaning towards veganism. It's a consequence that I have to live with daily. So there are going to be moments when you're going to feel the pressure of either being a bad or good mum. No one else is going to deal with the labels in your head but you. Like me, you're going to have to make decisions that are what you can live with, what are right for you, and pray to God that the repercussions are not fatal. When it comes to my children, their total health is my concern, mentally, physically, spiritually. Is that too much for me to take on? Yes. So I do what I can to the best of my ability. I'm no different to any other parent out there. So I'm gonna feel like I fall between the bad mum and the good mum at different stages on this journey. That is just the truth. Here ends my reflection. If anything I've brought up during this reflection has triggered you, then seek support and talk your thoughts through so it's not all left in your head. Mental well-being is real and we all need support. So get the support that helps you. Remember to subscribe, like, share, follow. You can leave comments if you so feel. But thanks for listening. And I'm always wishing you and your loved ones daily blessings. So remain safe. Till next time, I am out.